0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we head towards League Cup quarter-final weekend. There's still a bit of angst in the air though. Rangers supporters groups say they've met with club officials who are determined to stand by Russell Martin. For Celtic, it's all about the other Glasgow derby heading to Partick Thistle this weekend. First up though will be St Mirren and Kilmarnock. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have, for the first time on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Dylan McGeoch. And we thought we'll just put him next to somebody reliable, intelligent,
I'll
wise,
look after him.
Somebody who'll take him under his wing, make sure it all goes plain sailing.
A bit of experience, and welcome to the show, Dylan. I'm glad you're going to make sense tonight, because I certainly won't. But listen, it's all about the Premier Sports Cup this weekend, Gordon. And if you look at some of the ties, a lot of good games in there. You've got to say Aberdeen and Motherwell. I think that'll be a cracker. Aberdeen manager under a lot of pressure. Another manager's under a lot of pressure, Rangers v Hibs. Hibs will come there full of confidence, especially after watching what Hearts achieved last week. Our own Mark Wilson, great game for him against his old club Celtic. He'll be looking forward to that. So will Alec Ray's assistant. And St Mirren and Kilmarnock. What more can you ask for? Brilliant, brilliant weekend of football ahead.
Dylan, good to have you for the first time. How's things? Are you well?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me on. Things are well. Just obviously keep myself fit, keep myself busy.
Ticking over,
yeah. Hopefully when the phone goes that I'm ready to go.
So that's the state of play at the moment, just trying to find a club. So you were Carlisle last season?
Yeah, I've been Carlisle the last two seasons until the summer.
Whoever in there stitched him up and turned his mic off, yeah, no, can you hear that? No. Honestly, what an introduction that is.
Yeah.
Guy's just trying to feel his way into the show, just settle in.
I know, they've turned his mic
just
off.
Turned his mic. I think you're back. I think you'll be back in a minute. But anyway, we'll get him back. It's nothing you've done, don't you worry about that. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. So do get in touch. Let us know what's on your mind tonight. We're only a couple of days away. What is going on in here? His producer John, he's about 6'5" and he's trying to just duck in under the table.
That one big guy.
And fix Dylan McGeoch's mic. Get the camera on him.
It's the old typical, how do I sort it? I'll just take it out and put it back in. You'll be sounding brilliant now.
All good.
No, really. You can share one with Gordon DL. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. That's the number that you need. So why not come on down, let us know what's on your mind tonight. I feel like it's almost hard to think of something completely different and move things on, because everywhere you go it is still, I know you Rangers fans, the way things are going, and there's another development every day that it feels like. Who knew what Loch Lomond was going to produce earlier this week? And we've ticked along, and there's planned protests and all that sort of stuff. Well, now, it was last night, I think, after we came off air, the Rangers Fan Advisory Board speaking out, saying that they have indeed met with key figures at Ibrox, who reiterated the club's backing for under fire Russell Martin. So it's still heading in a really interesting direction towards the game this weekend, Gordon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the reaction. It'll be interesting, first and foremost, to see the crowd. We've heard from a lot of Rangers fans that are that disgusted they're not going along to Ibrox, or giving up, you know, going and watching until the manager's removed. It's that serious, Gordon. But just now, for some strange reason that we don't know, Russell Martin seems to have the backing of the board. They must see something that they believe in him, that 50,000 Rangers supporters sitting in side Ibrox last week couldn't see. So it'll be interesting to see. This is a massive week for him. I said last week after a Hearts game, I didn't think he would survive. I hate sitting on a show and trying to talk about managers losing their jobs. I've been in the shoes myself. It's a very, very difficult job. But didn't see him surviving. He has survived. I will say it now then. If he gets put out the cup with Hibs, surely he's away by Saturday.
You're just
night.
Saying that every week though.
Yeah, I'm going week to week.
Until it eventually happens.
Well, listen, this guy might turn this around, right? There's no evidence whatsoever for me to back that up. But football's a strange game. All of a sudden, you get a win against a good Hibs team. You're in the semi-final of the cup. Confidence grows again. And then you go on a wee run. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, right, things are good again. That's the nature of the beast with football. That's the way it works. But I just think Russell Martin, with the way the supporters are against him, it's game to game. They're waiting for him to fail and get him out the building, and I think that's what will eventually happen.
Well, just, do you want me to share a mic with Dylan and just see if that's the best way of doing it?
Okay.
Go on, you two, cozy up.
I mean,
there we go, look at that. Right. Look at what a dream team that is. Anyway, you were telling us you've been keeping yourself fit, left Carlisle in the summer, so we've got a short window between now and 8 o'clock to find you a club. That's the way it works, yeah?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Can he find him a mic?
That's a bad start, isn't it?
Nah, it's a good start for me, but it's been obviously tough over the summer, just keeping myself fit and try to keep myself ticking over until hopefully the phone goes and I can find myself a new club.
What does that look like in terms of, you do that on your own, do you do it with help from, what have you been up to?
Yeah, a little bit of both, to be honest. I do my own stuff obviously in the gym and a little bit of running here and there, but the English PFA, they put on a pre-season camp over the summer, so because I've been down the road for a few years, I was eligible to go down and spent like 5-6 weeks down there, 4 days at a time. Everything's paid for and stuff, so good standards of players and the coaching, so it got everyone up to speed, almost like a club environment as well, which is good. So a lot of players have got teams out the back of that, and there's a few of us obviously still waiting by the phone.
That's alright, that, isn't it? Get a few weeks away, keep yourself ticket. I mean, our esteemed colleague Fraser Wishart does wonderful things with PFA Scotland. I bet he wishes he had the cash to be putting these boys up for a few weeks at a time.
It's incredible down south, Gordon. They give you such great opportunities to get yourself back in the game. I'm not just saying that, but he looks very, very fit indeed. Full head of hair as well, which helps his speed when he goes down in that middle of the park into the box. So, football is difficult now. There's a lot of guys in the same position looking for clubs, but 32 years of age, January the 15th, 16th, your birthday, round about that. Yeah, there you go. I've done a bit of research. So he's still plenty of football left in him.
You've not researched anything in 15 years.
But he's new.
Who did he play for? Run through his clubs.
Before Carlisle, Forest Green.
Yep.
You played with Hibs. You played with Celtic. You played with Aberdeen. And
good to know. Okay, you've convinced me. That's fine.
There's one missing, isn't there? Hold on, just in between that.
Even I'm struggling here.
That was in Dundee United.
Red and white. Strip.
Red and white.
I can't believe we've started quizzing early tonight. Put him out.
Scottish team. English. I know it too.
Never mind. You can
go.
Keep
it. Where is it?
Sunderland.
Wikipedia is not for you, is it? 01419511025. A reminder, that's the number. See, we don't do these things by accident. As Gordon Deal quite rightly says, Dylan McGeoch, he's played for Aberdeen. They're under a bit of pressure. You can get your thoughts there. Hibs, of course. I'm not sure how I feel about having a second pundit in the show that's going to bang on about 2016 the way Marvin Bartley does, though. Do we need any more of that?
I think you're on here to sell yourself. So on you go, Dylan. The mic's all yours. I'll sit back and listen.
But I mean, he loves to suck up to the Hibs fans, Bartley, doesn't he? Just likes to keep in with them. That big friendly giant. Does that mean? I bet he wasn't like that at the time.
No, to be fair, I'd love to come on and obviously have a dig at Marv. But nah, he's a great guy. He was really good. Always smiling, always laughing. Helped us massively on the pitch and off the pitch.
Yeah, he's been put up to that. I'm not having that at all. 01419511025. 01419511025. Write it down. I'll keep saying it so we can get some calls flying in. Here they come, actually. George is going to kick things off. Take it away, George.
Good evening, pal. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Just a wee short question for you. Right.
Go for it.
And it's just really to do with the Rangers Hibs game coming up. So I was just thinking, this has, and I'm sure a lot of other fans would agree, this game's pivotal for Russell Martin to win. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that he plays informed players. Now, I want to ask a question. See, Finlay Curtis, is he injured at the moment?
No, don't think so.
Right, okay, because I have to say, I'm a big... I like Finlay Curtis when he's playing in the team. He's one of these players that looks for opportunities to get forward and create chances, you know, for the forward players. And also, I was listening to your show yesterday and you were talking at length about Nico Raskin, and there was an interview with Russell Martin who said that he had no beef with Nico Raskin. He'd had a chat with him. So I really feel that Russell Martin should play his in-form players, because he has to, with Hibs coming up, and we know Hibs are a team on form at the moment.
Yeah, so I like George's... Sorry, I was just going to put that to the panel, George. I like this in a way, Gordon, because it's very much... it's like back to basics. A good old debate about who should play, because for the last week or so, it just feels like it's all a bit bigger than that for Rangers. I don't know, does picking Finlay Curtis fix all this? I'm being a bit unfair in George. He's not necessarily suggesting that, but we almost like the picture with Russell Martin so big, it feels like no one's really taken time to debate what players he picks apart from Raskin.
Well, he's certainly got plenty of options. He's got a big, big squad there, Gordon. I think the big question mark will not be about Finlay Curtis. He's a young boy. He's been terrific every time he's come on or he's played with Rangers. He's still a lot of learning to do, and that'll come. Of course it will. Maybe it's not his time just now with the pressure that's on everybody at Ibrox, especially at home. And as I say, last week, 49 plus thousand in there and not happy. So sometimes it's better for a young boy just to be out that limelight just now. The big question will be Raskin. Will he bring Raskin back in, which is probably the biggest game of his career? There's no doubt for Russell Martin, he cannot survive getting put out of the cup at the weekend. Cannot survive that. I know that we've said it before. I know Rangers fans are up in arms wondering why he's not out the door. He's obviously got a lot of backing inside the corridors. But if he loses to Hibs, he certainly can't. But the big question mark is, does he bring Raskin back in? And I think every Rangers fan will be asking that.
Dylan, you've obviously been immersed in Scottish football, brought up in it, played in it for many clubs. You're now staying in Carlisle. You've been playing there. What do you make of the madness that goes on in Glasgow from that distance? You still stay right up to date with it all?
Yeah, obviously I've been away from Glasgow for a couple of years now, but I still listen to the show, so I'm still up to date.
Oh, you definitely know the madness.
Yeah. And again, obviously friends and family and stuff like that, so you're never far away from the madness, as you say, in Glasgow. So yeah, when I do listen to it, it keeps me up to date what's going on. And obviously the last few months, it's not been pretty for basically both sides of the Old Firm. Obviously the former Rangers, and then the carry on with Celtic kind of off the pitch stuff with the transfer market and stuff. So yeah, keeps me up to date. The Raskin one, I just wanted to touch on the Raskin one. So I understand that he's one of Rangers' best players, most influential. Obviously he plays with Belgium, yep, internationalists and stuff, but I do think Russell Martin's, he's an intelligent man. He thinks about and through. I worked under his assistant at Carlisle and stuff, so I know how these kind of people work. They don't do anything through emotions and stuff. Everything's well thought out. So I think for him to drop Raskin out the squad, there must have been something that maybe he's thought is maybe undermined him in front of the squad or whatever, and he's had to act on it, because I don't think for a minute he's just thought one day that I'm just going to drop Raskin out the squad right before an Old Firm game, bring more pressure on myself.
Yeah, he must know how that would be received.
Listen, he'd come in, he signed in the summer, he admits it himself that he was kind of under pressure from the start. A lot of Rangers fans didn't really want him in the door, so he knows he's a fan's favourite, he knows he's one of his best players. There's no way he's leaving him out squads unless he thinks that he needs to put his foot down, maybe in front of the squad, maybe it's a power struggle. But these guys, they do ask questions when you're in meetings and stuff. I've had it before where they like to get your opinion, but obviously there's a line where you're giving feedback, or there's a line where you cross it and you're almost going against what the manager's putting across.
How does the modern player feel about those dynamics in the dressing room, right? Because I keep saying this, it's very difficult. You don't know what the alleged crime is. We don't know what Russell Martin thinks Nicholas Raskin's done. However, see, just generally speaking, because you've been in a lot of dressing rooms, do players, because I think the fans' view is sort of like, he's our best player, therefore he needs to be in. Do players feel slightly differently? Because Russell Martin made a comment about he needs to earn the trust back of his teammates, whatever that means, right? I don't know what that means. Do players in that squad kind of focus on the type of teammate someone is and the character, or will they all be thinking, ah, he's the best player, get him in?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a hard one, but for me,
Raskin's kind of, I don't know exactly what's happened, obviously yeah. No one knows that, speculation, but for me there must be something where Raskin's maybe overstepped his mark and put the manager in that position, which ultimately he's not available because the manager's had to take a stance, and always the pressure comes with that. But really, he's Rangers, one of their best players, so he should be playing. So I get the anger because of the results haven't been there and stuff, and everything's pointed to Russell Martin. But for me, a lot of the blame is probably on Raskin making the manager make a decision.
Again, what I said,
we don't know, but knowing how the assistant and how they speak about Russell Martin and the way he carries himself, there's no way he's making these sort of decisions without carefully going through it and thinking, if I do this, the pressure it'll bring. So there must be something that he's had to make action.
Because, Gordon, there was the story, I think, at the start of this about apparently that Russell Martin had the backing of senior Rangers players over this. Mm-hmm. So you need to get that dynamic right as well.
Yeah. You just wonder what's happened this week in training.
Well, he was on the infamous hill walk, yeah, wasn't he? And he was in the dip in Loch Lomond.
Yeah,
so
but he's been brought back in, presumably. Yeah, he's been brought back into the first team squad training, which is a positive for everyone concerned. We said that last week, and Russell Martin seemed to come out and say, right, that's a line drawn under it. But he did mention the trust of the players, and all of a sudden I think everybody was expecting a maybe worse scenario on the bench against Hearts. Maybe bring him on, maybe just put him there to say, right, okay, he's working his way back into the first team. But nothing, he was up in the stand. And I go back to it, this is a massive, massive game for Russell Martin. Does he put Raskin in that team, or does he put him on the bench? Or, once again, does he put him up in the stand? See, if he puts him back up in the stand, Gordon, for me, there's no way back now for him.
Similarly, if he pitches him straight back in, what sort of message does that send, or is that okay?
I think the scenario for Russell Martin, if he's thinking about it, I think he goes on the bench, and you then use him if you want to use him, depending on how the game's going.
I suppose, though, Joe Rothwell may well be injured. He came on and off, didn't he, last weekend? So maybe the hand becomes actually forced a wee bit
It could be. I think it'll be an interesting one. As much as he is under pressure, I think everybody going along there on Saturday will certainly be looking at the team sheet.
Let's get Martin's take. Thank George, first of all, and get Martin, who's in Stewarton. How are you, Martin?
I'm doing fine, Gordon, yourself.
Good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking tonight then?
I was saying to the producer there, the first thing I want to say is, I was on the 29th of May when Gerrard knocked back the job at Ibrox, and we were talking about who was going to come in. Between myself and Gordon Dale, we both fancied Russell Martin for the job.
He's to blame now.
Stop the bus. I didn't. I was going for Ancelotti.
Well, he's not having a good time either.
Yeah, but we did say he would be a good fit as well. But
no, I didn't.
Don't you let him.
Didn't like his hair.
Don't you let him wriggle out of this, Martin. I've got the tapes. I'm going to play the tapes. Anyway, Martin, so you're not one of the ones that can be accused of never giving him a chance in the first place then?
No, I mean, you've got to give every man a chance. I don't think you can just for the start and say, no, he's not going to be the man for the job. I think most Rangers fans obviously were a bit dubious of the appointment. I think it was a bit underwhelming, but again, we have to go back and say, well, we have to give him a chance. Obviously, we know how it's worked out, obviously not well for him. And I think I was saying to the producer as well there, I think the lack of disrespect he's shown to the fans at the moment in time, because I listened, I watched his interview on Saturday after the Hearts game, and it just seems to, his arrogance seems to get worse and worse. I think it's a bit of disdain for the fans as well, because we're the people that pay the money, and that's how his wages are paid.
What do you mean by that, Martin? Because I hear this a lot, and a lot of it does sound quite personal. I don't recall many managers getting called arrogant on the show the way that Russell Martin does. What is it that leads so many to say these things?
I think it's just the way. When he answers questions, sometimes questions are one-word answers, and I know obviously that people might say that's not really great to say that, but I think the way he answers it, the way he comes across, his interviews seem to get worse and worse. His interviews don't get any better with the fans, and David Edgar called him out on Saturday and says, are you going to resign? And he just says no. I'm not expecting them to say to the area, yeah, I'm going to resign tomorrow, but a wee bit I can take that and say, well, I'm hoping to try, but he keeps saying that.
They're tough questions to answer, though, aren't they, Martin? If we're being honest, they're tough questions to answer.
Yeah, he was putting a bit of a tough position on Saturday after, in the press conference after it with the Rangers media podcasters, which is obviously, you know, as I say, the other people who go to the games, I'm not a season ticket holder, I go when I can. I was planning on going on Sunday, but that's not going to happen to you. I think he's out the door. I've just had up to here with him. I just think he should just go.
So,
to be fair,
and just, Dylan, you referenced Matt Gill, is that who you mean? The other coach,
Mike Williamson.
Right, okay. So yeah. What was the role? He was at Carlisle with you previously?
Yeah, he was a manager. He was a manager at Carlisle, yeah.
I should have done my research like Gordon DL.
Yeah, exactly.
Did that show up in Wikipedia earlier?
No,
I didn't think so. So what type of character is he? And is he like Russell Martin? Is that why they're in it together? How do you think they'll be receiving all this barrage of criticism we're getting at the moment?
Yeah, well, obviously, I don't know Russell Martin at all, really. Just obviously what I see, and obviously a little bit from the manager that I worked with at Carlisle. They spoke very highly of Russell and stuff, and the philosophy and how they want to play the game and how they see the game. And obviously, they kind of, the way they think, they're not emotional and everything's well thought out. So putting two and two together.
Was he like that? That his style when you had him sort of more trying to be methodical and trying not to kind of listen to the outside noise, but then that's so hard at a club like Rangers, isn't it?
No, of course. Listen, there's a difference when you come to Glasgow, and especially with the Old Firm. It's anything you say is getting criticised, and obviously what Martin's saying there about his one kind of short answers, I kind of understand it, because the frustration and what he's had to put himself through for 90 minutes, and the fans and the away fans, yep, and everything he's had to put up with in that 90 minutes, and then really in his head probably he's thinking it's probably a disrespectful kind of question. Like, do you expect him to turn around and say, yeah, I'll resign?
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's somebody who's on the receiving end of those answers weekly. I don't find them particularly unreasonable. I think he can obviously be a bit up and down as managers are, and sometimes he'll give you more than he does at other times. But it's back to this, Gordon. He can't really do anything right.
No.
In the eyes of Rangers fans,
no. Even his bonding day on Monday, Gordon, every fan picked holes in it. I think every manager in their careers went down that road at one point. Right, okay, it's five league games in, and that's a bit alarming.
But, is that the high road or the low road?
Low road.
Right, just
you've got to. But look, you're saying he was arrogant at the weekend. I thought it was difficult for a manager that's come under that much pressure standing there for 90 plus minutes.
Get your calls in to Gordon DL and Dylan McGeoch right now, please. 01419511025, and we will speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Dylan McGeoch is here. We've not scared him off for his first Clyde One Super Scoreboard appearance. He's going to stick with us for now. Gordon DL's alongside him, looking after him or something like that. And you can get in touch, give us a call on 01419511025. Just like Colin has done. How are you, Colin?
Thanks, guys.
What's happening with you then, Colin?
Right, so phoning back, the day that they signed him, I was on, I couldn't believe it. And I just don't know what the delay is. The guy, if there's ever been a dead man walking, it is now. I don't know why we're eating into more time into a season in order to let this guy go. In terms of the arrogance of the interviews, I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the way it comes across as if, I've got back and I don't care. He doesn't look as though, if you were a manager under that much pressure and you cared, nothing he ever says is for the gut. It's as if it comes out of a manual, and these flippant remarks, it's as if, yeah, I don't care, I've got the backing anyway, so, you know, we'll just go. I mean, he'll be happy because FIFA's out. He can go on to the manager level on FIFA, because that's where he learns how to do what he does. So it comes out the day, he'll be over the moon with that. But he's needing to stick to that, because a manager he is not, and certainly not a Glasgow Rangers manager.
Well, I think that last bit might be it, because look, there are elements of his managerial track record that do stack up, and he got Southampton promoted, so the first bit probably unfair, but obviously the whole debate we're having is whether he's a suitable Rangers manager. It's funny what Colin says about, you know, he comes across like he's got the backing. So that's why I brought it up again today. I know there are elements of this that we're having the same conversation, but the new news, if you like, the new line late last night was that the Rangers Fan Advisory Board, so it's like an official body, if you like, they get to liaise between the fans and the club. They get access, if you like, to Kevin Thelwell, Patrick Stewart. So they've gone, they've put across their anger, if you like, their desire for Russell Martin to be removed, and they were told that Russell Martin still definitely has the backing of the American owners and those that run the club, Gordon.
Yeah, it's incredible. Look, we're all looking at Russell Martin now. We're picking holes in absolutely everything.
Even his computer games of choice.
Yeah, his dress sense, his hair, everything. He's managing, his tactics, his style of football.
His
interviews. I felt a bit... Look, whether he's arrogant in such a way, but it's not nice to stand on the touchline and both sets of fans singing, you know, being disrespectful to you in the sense of being sacked in the morning, right? I think every Rangers fan does want him out the building. Of that, there's no doubt. But someone or a couple of people inside that Ibrox must be looking at him just now thinking he can turn that around. And they're the only people right now that can see that. And they're only people that really matter because they make the big, big decisions. But it'll be interesting. There's a couple of big things happening the weekend. He has to win, and it'll be interesting to see if he brings back Raskin. I think big, massive talking points. But I think you'll get Rangers fans that will come on here shortly and say, doesn't matter if he wins against Hibs, you still want him out. He's going game to game. The next bad disaster for him, or a defeat, or whatever it may be, or a draw away to Livingston, or whatever, or another European, beating, then the fans will bat him again. I totally agree. Colin used that phrase there. He's a dead man walking. It's a matter of time for him. I don't think he's going to turn it around.
Dylan, you have, let's make it about one of your former teams, Hibs, because they go there this weekend. You'll have gone there. Is that the dream environment for an away player? You know, like, because you always talk about turning the crowd or quietening the crowd. They don't need turning. They don't need, you know what I mean? It's almost like instant, however many are in there at the weekend.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, I think the big thing for me, I think Rangers have lost their fear factor. I think teams go there now. I think you see the Motherwell going, the Ibrox, and the way they played. At home, the way they played against Rangers, went toe-to-toe and played their football. Whereas probably years before, teams are a bit more careful and let Rangers have the ball. And I think you see that at Hearts at the weekend as well. So they've definitely lost their fear factor. Obviously, teams going there know that as soon as the 5-10 minutes, if it's slow and they're not kind of playing exciting football, the crowd will start to turn.
Because it's funny you say, it used to be half an hour, didn't it, or 40 minutes. Now it's five. Seriously, the weekend, it didn't take much.
Yeah, obviously, you understand the situation that anything they do is criticised, but that comes with results. And I think Russell Martin will know that.
Involved with Hibs, you're going along there thinking, I've got to be disappointed if we get put out of the cup here. And that's where Rangers are at this moment in time. And that's why the manager's under so much pressure. Hibs will fancy it. Hearts certainly fancied it. They were very positive. Usually you get teams, and I agree with Dylan there about the fear factor. Usually you get teams pitching up there and they'll play in the counter-attack. They'll make it very difficult for Rangers. Now teams are going toe-to-toe with them because they fancy beating them.
Colin, if he still has the backing, do you think the visit of Andrew Kavanagh's flown in today ahead of the game, do you think what he experiences when he gets here could change his mind?
I think he needs to talk to some of the players, because I think, so this is the amateur psychology. I think what they think is the longer that this goes on, eventually the players that are no playing for him will realise he's no going anywhere, will knuckle down and will start to implement his philosophy of football, which is flawed. First and foremost, and I think that's what the fittest can be, the only reason. But I think when he starts to speak to the people that matter, he'll realise that this is, you can't turn this round. But in terms of, can I just touch on, in terms of the comedic value, he does it to himself. He was stating about a maintenance man turning, saying, oh, it's a tanker you're turning around. And he felt that that was enough to justify his existence there, because a maintenance man felt sorry for him and told him that it was a... It shouldn't have been a tanker to turn around. It was a fresh season with a lot of good money for signings and all the rest. It shouldn't have been a tanker to turn around in the first place. It should have been a great project. He's not got the tools.
But again, Gordon, that's it. See, if you're winning gate, look, it's just an analogy. He was just trying to say it might take a while to get things going. But when you're not getting results, then these phrases become a stick to beat you with. Yeah. If you are getting results, you look like a wise man. So actually, it all just comes down to that. None of this is a problem if you're I think just showing something, because that the depth of where we're at here is actually more than results. It's because the results don't even look like they're happening. They actually look miles away. So that I get it, but you know, worrying about his tanker analogy and these are all small details compared to just the inability to win football matches.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. He's got to win. Listen, we said at the beginning of the season, Gordon, when he came in, we were inundated with Rangers fans calling, a lot of them saying, look, we don't want him as a manager, but we're prepared to give him a chance. Now, if that's the case, you've got to hit the ground running, haven't you? As a Rangers manager, you've got to hit the ground running. Now, a couple of results can go against you, especially in Europe against Bruges, which is, they're a top side. So that can go against you, but the manner in which they lost and the way they lost over there was ridiculous. But you've got to see something. You know, and everybody talks about style of play and everything like that. He comes out in an interview at the weekend there and basically throws his players under the bus by basically saying, well, they can't handle the pressure out there. They're not doing what I'm telling them. It's nothing to do with the tactics. Rangers fans don't buy into that. They don't like that. They don't like to see that. He had to come out. He had to be humble and put his hand up and say, look, you have to, you know, stick with me. I promise you'll turn it round. I see sort of a... To say you don't see us on a Thursday and Friday training is a ridiculous statement from a Rangers manager. Ridiculous. So you can't come out and say that unless... You are going to back that up by winning games, and he's got to start winning at the weekend.
See, being in dressing rooms, Dylan, I don't know if you've been in anything exactly the same, but if a manager's really under it, how do players sort of feel about that? Because you obviously, especially here, you won't be able to avoid them. How could you avoid it? It was ringing around 50,000 people. How do you think players receive that?
Yeah, I think obviously there might be a few that are not happy, but kind of letting the manager take the blame. Situations I've been in where we've kind of went through a rough spell, I think majority of players take it. They take it because they know the work that's getting put on Monday to Friday, the detail and everything they try to do, and they believe that this is going to be the best way of winning the game. And if you're not getting the result, then sometimes the players can feel that as well, thinking, well, we're not doing enough. Again, it's a balance between what the manager's asking you to do and are you delivering that on the pitch? If you're doing what he's asking you to do to your best ability and you're still not getting results, then obviously that's when the finger gets pointed on the manager. But there is, I'd imagine, a lot of honest pros in there that know that we should be doing better than we're doing, regardless of how the manager's wanting to play, because he's not telling the two centre-halves just to pass the ball to each other 10 times before they can go over the halfway line. That's not the style they want to do. So maybe something ahead needs to change, which they'll try to suck somebody out to play through the lines or something. So, listen, there could be a number of reasons why it looks the way it looks just now, lethargic and slow, but...
I think the problem probably... I'm not a tactician, Gordon, but I think Saturday, it just didn't look like it was even that, though. Like, you know, see if it was that. You've seen a lot of teams who are trying to play possession-based, and that is the default, that is the safety. You know, maybe it comes out across, it goes goalie to centre back and back, and the centre backs will share it, and it goes out to full back, and it comes back, and maybe the six drops in, and then they get it back. Mm. You genuinely don't see any of that. It doesn't even necessarily look like the early stages of a possession based team. I don't really know what it looks like to most Rangers fans.
No, everybody thought he was going to come up with a philosophy that it'll be 45 passes before it goes in the box, because that's what he was well known for down in England. Rangers fans would never have bought that. Look, seeing Saturday, I'm going to stick up for him slightly here, right, on Saturday. There was a lot of big decisions that went against Rangers at Saturday. Sure. And nothing, and all credit to Hearts. Listen, I'm taking nothing away from Hearts. But a lot of big decisions went against him. But he's tried everything, gone. He left out. He came out and had a go at his players. And we all knew who he was talking about after the Motherwell game. He's left out his captain, Tavernier, and he left out Raskin. He brought them back in. He tried Aarons at every position you could imagine to fit him in the team. Not good enough. Rothwell, he put him in as well. Not good enough. And probably, and I think Rothwell's come out and said that that's not even his best position. So what chance have you got? He's brought Antman in. And the opening, he was literally landed at Glasgow Airport. He played his first game. He was brilliant. We've never seen him since. You know, he's brought the wonder kid up from Spurs, Moore, not hit the ground running at all. You know, there's a lot of... He's brought an £8 million striker in that. The pedigree's nothing now. You wonder, was that his signing? I don't think it was, so I'm going to give him a bit of credit there. So you look and you say, right, he's been backed, he's been given 13, 14 players, but you don't see any signs of how it's going to improve.
Let's nip that in the bud for now, because we're a bit late. Thank you very much to Colin on the line. We'll speak to Gav very soon, but I need to do a few things first. Most importantly, you're running out of time on this. Grade one. Tomorrow is the big day. Just imagine, this time tomorrow, you could be £553,000 better off. You can get 100 entries into that draw by texting BANK to 61025. Ticks are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES instead to 61025. Text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. And the online entry and all the rules for this rare network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Now you are on the home straight. It is 5pm tomorrow. The lines close. You will kick yourself forever if you just run out of time on this. It could well be you that walks away with the £553,000. Best of luck. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Dylan McGeoch and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Any clubs out there who want to sign Dylan, you can call that number as well. We'll put them through in a separate producer handle. There'll be loads coming in, I'm sure, because you're going to talk them up between now and the
did
end
you
of the.
Did you get my name mixed up there, didn't you?
I did, don't know
yeah,
why
you were going to see Scotty Allen.
No, I did. Yes. I just stumbled on you for some reason.
Thinking the Hibs midfield.
Every Thursday.
Aye, that's what it is.
Every Thursday. The Hibs, for years I've been here.
The Hibs 2016-17 midfield just rolls off.
Look like wee Scotty.
The tongue.
With the glasses. I'd be happy with that.
You've been called a lot of things on here. So listen, there's a first for everything. Let's bring in Gav, who's up in Drumchapel. How are you, Gav?
Not bad. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. What made you call?
It was purely down to the game on Saturday. There's a lot of people I know, and obviously amongst the Rangers kind of forums and stuff like that, they're boycotting the game on Saturday, regardless if they bought the ticket. I'm going to the game. I totally understand their point. They're no going, but what if it has a completely opposite effect on it? Because during COVID, Rangers played pretty good while there was no fans, but it's not really going to prove a point. Because if you're getting winning Saturday while there's minimal people there, it's not really going to prove a point. The fans, just in that sense, anyway. But rather the board themselves aren't really going to be bothered by it because they've got the tickets, because people are buying the tickets, but they're just not going to the game.
Yeah.
They've let Martin away way too much so far. I don't think this is going to bother them.
See, the thing about that though, right, because there's obviously two ways of looking at it. Yes, if you, I know what you're saying, that the money's already in, but if this is Andrew Kavanagh coming over for the first time in a while and he walks out to a half empty Ibrox, it would send up quite a message, would it not?
Well, in that way it might, but I think they've already let Martin away. His time's up. And the worst thing about it is as well, see why, and I know obviously it's going to make a big difference, but see why we were in the lower leagues. We had more fight, we had more spirit, and it's just like it's lost. It just seems as if they're no Rangers anymore.
Gordon, we've said it a million times, people can generally do what they want within reason. If people want to go, they don't. Gav says he's going to go because he doesn't think it's you know, makes much difference. It is going to be a huge weekend anyway, because we need to see how many people are going to gather outside, right? That's the whole plan, isn't it? Is it 4:30 or something on Saturday evening? How many people are going to gather there? How noisy is that going to be? What's that going to look like? Then how many do go in? Those that are in, how do they respond? Is it banners? Is it chants again? Are they right from the off? We said at the weekend, this is the guy who got booed back onto the pitch at the end of half time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I made too much of that. I just don't think I've ever seen that before.
No. And plus the fact, also the most important thing you miss out there is, how's it going to infect the players? You know, Celtic had a protest and said that they were going to do it in the 12th minute because they're a 12th man. That's what happens when you've got a massive support. Dylan will tell you, he's played in big clubs and he's played in front of big crowds. It gives you that drive. Now, the problem we've got is Russell Martin come out and said that some of the players couldn't handle it. So it might be a good thing that half the support don't go inside and let them go and play. It's going to be a strange one on Saturday. It's got to be a strange atmosphere. Russell Martin will know the reception, even at, when he walks out that tunnel for the beginning of the game. He'll probably be coming under a lot of pressure and a lot of stick as well, and there's nothing nice about that, let me tell you. But it's how the players handle it, Gordon, because they're under pressure. Let's not take a lot away from them as well. They've got the responsibility. They're decent players. Yes, you can argue, well, they've not got direction or whatever, but they know how to play the game. They're international footballers out there. They're top players. They're getting top money. They should know how to go out and play and handle the pressure. So they'll come under a little bit of scrutiny as well. And that's why I think Saturday's so intriguing at Ibrox.
See the mental side of it. Because Russell Martin's saying we're just playing with too much anxiety. How on earth do you snap out of that as a footballer? Is it the hill walk? Is that the type of thing you're just trying to change environment, trying to do something drastic? Because that sounds to me, having never played elite sport, that must be quite tough to overcome.
Yeah, I think obviously it's easier said than done. Just to say, well, go out and play with no fear and now confidence, but that comes with results. It comes with action. Obviously, the reaction from the fans as well. Like the players know that the fans are kind of in a negative tone. Mm-hmm. Every kind of negative action in the game. So again, I think Russell Martin's tried to change the environment this week. Take them out, get away from training, and kind of clear their head. But again, no matter what he does.
Dylan, when you were getting booed, how did you handle it?
He was telling us at the break that you went hill walking.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
There, you go in the Lake District. So it's the done thing.
Lake District.
It's just in Glasgow that it doesn't wash.
Right, okay. So if he wins against Hibs and has a good result, everybody will be saying, genius.
Imagine, they'll be up there every week.
You know, there's been all the talk about how he doesn't wear a suit. Imagine he wore hill walking boots in the touchline.
Ah, oh, mate, that'd be brilliant.
Saturday.
With a three piece.
His trunks on.
Suit, yeah.
Just to really.
Over the trousers.
Send a message.
With a haircut.
I just think, like, obviously, he's tried to change environment. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've all kind of heard these stories before. When you go out, they go go karting, they go paintballing. Try to just change an environment and get their heads away from the negativity.
You never done anything totally outrageous?
No, well, we had a few nights out
that were outrageous.
Yeah, outrageous. Yeah, but again, it's different times now. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And if you imagine the Rangers squad went to
Wonderbar.
Look at the press they've had for this.
Yeah, it caused mayhem. Again, I get why he's trying to do it, but when everything's negative and you're not getting results, no matter what you do, it's a problem.
I mean, Gav, so how does this play out? Where does this go?
Well, Russell Martin's out of ideas, I'm certainly out of ideas. I don't know. It's just got to a stage now where, and I heard you saying earlier on, obviously, but there's no fear factor when teams are coming to Ibrox, or even when you're going to other stadiums. There's just nothing there anymore. It just seems as if we're one of, without sounding disrespectful, one of the wee teams, and that's just nowhere we should be.
It's funny, I saw someone was sending me or telling me about Hugh Keevan's getting stick because he's tipped in true Hugh tipped fashion. He's tipped Rangers to win every game so far this season. They've not won any. But actually,
well, he's consistent.
I wonder if you now have to come round to his way of thinking, and that Couldn't win it sometime.
Exactly.
But I keep, now I'm not so sure, because that was the way I felt last weekend. I thought, look, it's four games, everyone's had their fun, but at some point, Rangers, at some point, they'll just find a way,
they'll
stumble away to victory. I don't know. I don't know how confident I feel in that anymore.
I don't even think Rangers fans at the weekend, this weekend, will be confident to be in the semi final of the Cup. I think Hibs will travel through from Edinburgh more confident than the Rangers fans going inside Ibrox.
You know, David Gray, will he be feeling that for sure, try and capitalise on it?
Yeah, well, I was just about to ask a question. Is the pressure on Hibs to go and make sure they're through?
What you mean.
Because obviously all the negativity with Rangers and what's going on and the protests and...
So you think it's seen as a disappointment for Hibs now?
I think you can kind of see both sides. I think Hibs would rather go there when things are kind of toxic in the stands and stuff, in the protests, obviously, because Rangers are wounded and you think, well, we're going to go there and we're going to go win the game. But again, you can play differently then. Do you know what I mean? You can play differently.
Is it not the great cliche that you'll never get a better chance to put Rangers out of the cup at home? The way things have gone, the pressure they're under,
But then you do sometimes prefer being underdogs, don't you? But then Hearts is a good example from the weekend. Just handled it all fine.
Yeah, Hearts handled it well, obviously. McInnes is a seasoned pro in this league. Do you know what I mean? He knows how to get the job done everywhere he's went, and he knows going there. And I think the team talk will be the same. It'll be the fans are turned. The fans are turned. You said half an hour, now it's down to 5 minutes. But you know for a fact that if you come out in the front foot, usually it's try keep it close, try not concede early. Now it's probably if we can go and oppose ourselves on Rangers and get an early goal or get a few chances, these fans are turned. So it's kind of flipped, where you would usually go there thinking, try not conceding half an hour, the fans are turned. Now it's, mate, let's get at them, because if we can get something early on, especially in the first half, the fans
will
be booing.
Well, that's Hibs' strength, isn't it, going forward, because defensively they'll leak goals.
They early can goals, yeah.
But up the forward line, they can get goals. Boyle and Bowie, good act.
Okay, let's leave it there. Thank Gav, and it moves us on nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How's your Beat the Pundit credentials?
Did you hear him in the office before I come in?
Saying he's brilliant.
Usually get a 4 out of 5, Daz. I'm top notch.
When I'm in the gym and that, it's easy, isn't it? I'm thinking, how's he got that one wrong?
Your palm's sweating yet?
A little bit.
I think you'll crumble, mate.
I think you said a minute ago I'm used to playing under big pressure.
You will crumble under the pressure of Beat the Pundit. I've seen many people like you.
Like yourself. Let's see. It might not be Dylan, it might be Gordon. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Dylan McGeoch is here alongside Gordon DL tonight on 01419511025. Give us a call, let us know what you're thinking. Again, there's been lots more being said about Rangers and specifically Russell Martin, because today's development is that Andrew Kavanagh is flying in. What will he find when he gets here ahead of the weekend? The Rangers fan advisory board say they've met with Patrick Stewart, Kevin Thelwell, and they are very much standing by Russell Martin. So it is a situation that's developing slowly as the days go on. And of course, tomorrow morning, Russell Martin will do his next press conference. So plenty to look forward to on that front. How are you Celtic fans and others feeling tonight? What's on your mind? Get all your calls in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Want the bad news?
No. Don't say I'm bottom of the league.
No, you're not bottom. Second bottom.
No, I'm not.
Yep.
I've lost 2 games out of about 8.
You're currently on a bad run. You've lost 3 of your last 4.
I've won 1 in 4.
That's poor.
Yeah, you've lost 3 and 4. You've won one and four.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but they're sort of a staggered.
So you're second bottom at the moment, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but I won 5 in a row before that.
Don't argue with me again. We're not going to do this season.
The percentages are not right.
71% for you, win rate.
And who's bottom? Sid.
0%. Played 4.
You want him, mate.
Simon honestly. Donnelly. I don't know what's happened to him. Played 4, lost 4. It's outrageously bad.
He can't even get his name right. He just passes.
Does he?
So yeah, he's struggling. Unbelievably, your old teammate's flying, Marvin Bartley.
Is he?
Played 7-1.
See, no, I remember listening to that and he couldn't get a question.
I know, but he's now kind of learning. The longer he's been with us up here,
maybe he was just playing a He doesn't know much.
Trying to like lull people into a false sense of security.
He's doing well, Big Marv.
Okay, right. Anyway, Daryl's on tonight. How are you, Daryl?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks very much.
What's happening with you, Daryl? You a Celtic fan?
I'm a Celtic fan. I'm actually in the Republic of Ireland. We're just driving up to Dublin to get the flight back to Glasgow. Nice.
Okay, right. We'll maybe talk football once we're done. Let's quiz first. If it's the blue side of the new Beat the Pundit coin, it'll be Dylan McGeoch. If it is the red side, it will be Gordon DL. He's off the hook. Look at that. He's his debut.
I wanted to go as well.
Did you really?
I fancied it. Okay. I just want to test myself on it.
See that? That's that elite mentality. You just want to push boundaries.
It's okay saying that when the coin goes the other way.
I hope you flop here dramatically. Right. Anyway, Daryl, you must be happy with that. Gordon DL has lost three of his last four. That is a man that's there for the taking, is it not?
Oh, toffee.
Yes, I like it. He's confident. He's not even listening to us now, Daryl. He's listening to something else. So 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Ready?
Yep, on you go.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name either team playing in the league, the Premiership this weekend. Name either team playing in the Premiership this weekend.
Hearts.
Who's the longest serving Celtic player currently? How many squirrels are on the Kilmarnock badge?
Two.
Leanne Ross is the manager of which women's side?
Rangers.
Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Cup? Giving us a guess?
Last Scottish manager. I'd say probably Bracken.
Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us? I could actually hear that music there.
Brilliant, isn't it? Don't leave me this way.
I really like the way you were like whispering along to it. That put me off.
Did
it's
it?
Like something out of my nightmares. You.
It was good. It was good. Who sang that?
I enjoyed that. I took my headphones off.
Who sang that song? Don't leave me this way.
What are you asking me, honestly?
I can't survive.
Span the ballet.
I've never known anyone. The communards.
No, it's no.
It is.
No, it's no.
It is.
100% it's no.
Somebody in my ear telling me.
Who is your tail?
Do you know the thing is, they could say anything to me right now and I would repeat it. No, he's doubling down, communards.
Sang that, don't leave me this way.
Yes.
Nah, I'm not having it.
No, listen, don't shoot the messenger.
Wee Jimmy thing me, the wee lead singer, wasn't it?
Wee Jimmy.
Jimmy Cranky, no?
Is it the communard?
Yes.
That sort of is. Yeah, wee Jimmy, the...
I don't know what's happening here. Can we please move on? Right, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Your time starts now. Name either team playing in the Premiership this weekend.
St John. Hearts.
Who's the longest serving Celtic first team player currently?
Cal McGregor.
How many squirrels are on the Kilmarnock badge?
Two.
Leanne Ross is the manager of which women's side?
Edinburgh.
Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
Which Motherwell defender has got four goals already this season?
Motherwell defender.
Come
or
on,
the
big Motherwell
back.
Fan.
The
come on,
back.
Come on,
the left back.
Come on, Mr. ML1.
The left back. I can't remember his name.
May he pass
left
it in,
back, isn't it?
But that's not his name, so I'm not accepting left back.
Yeah, left back.
Nope, not giving it. Okay.
That was poor.
Daryl, what do you think?
I think it'll be close, to be honest with you.
Claude, Darren, were you as bad as me?
No, I'm never as bad as you, to be honest with you, but I think it'll be close. Everyone's allowed an off day, you know.
Absolutely adored your attempts at the first question. Name either team playing in the Premiership at the weekend. You tried to give me St Johnstone, who are famously...
No, I didn't.
Who are not in the Premiership. You then went Hearts.
Dundee or Livingston.
Would you have got that?
No,
that's a hard one. I thought actually.
Did Daryl get
it? Right, he didn't.
Actually, he's going to be good.
Longest serving Celtic first team player currently is, of course,
James Forrest,
not Callum McGregor. Daryl, well done. Daryl got James Forrest. Your squirrel knowledge was good. I think we've had this question before, and you know that every time the guy, the squirrel tweets me, doesn't he? I'm not giving him any further prominence in this show. He's the most talked about mascot in the world because of us, Captain Conqueror, or whatever his name is. There are two squirrels in the Kilmarnock badge.
That was a guess, wasn't it?
No, go on, I knew that. Yeah.
He's good with squirrels.
I love a squirrel.
Just not anything else. 2-1. Leanne Ross is the manager of which women's side?
Celtic.
No.
Edinburgh.
No. Who's Edinburgh?
I'd say.
Who's Edinburgh?
They don't have a team.
Well, maybe, but
Glasgow.
Glasgow City.
That's who I always get in.
I know
Glasgow.
You do. I've heard you do this with the women's teams. Yeah. I don't know why. So it is Glasgow City. None of you got it. The last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Cup.
Don't tell me.
That was tough, that.
Hold on. Last Scottish. Derek McInnes?
When?
Don't know. Oh, he never won the Scottish Cup.
No, it was the other Cup.
Callum Davidson.
He done a double.
St Johnston. None of you got it. So you had the chance to equalise. I handed it on a plate.
What's
to
his
you.
His name, left back.
Big Motherwell fan.
I can't believe that you
claim to be. He's got three in the league, one in the League Cup. He's flying from left back. His name is Emmanuel Longello.
Ah, I forgot Longello. Darryl, that's Emmanuel. I was struggling.
Darryl, superb.
That was poor, wasn't it?
That was very poor.
Darryl, don't do this.
Zero. To be fair, the first thing that came to my head was Callum McGregor as well.
There you go, yeah. Darryl, don't let him do this. He's focusing on how bad he is. This is all about you.
Yeah,
this
Darryl,
is your
well
moment.
Done.
Thanks very much. Back in the net, shooting in.
Aye, all right, Darryl. I said well done. I was trying to be nice there. At Dublin Airport?
We're heading for Dublin, yeah. My driver's a Rangers fan, I'm a Celtic fan, so we're all pals here.
Are you going to choose the sign ball or the super scoreboard beat the pundit coin?
Oh.
For your prize.
I'll go for the same ball.
Okay, don't mind it. We've been mixing it up a bit recently.
Darryl.
The coins are nice, but I don't mind going back to the old sign box. I've been putting too much pressure. People think
but
I'm in commission
nicer.
For the coins.
They're nicer.
Because I've been really pushing them.
Well, actually, send us a coin. You get it through the letterbox, can't you?
That's true.
There you go, Darryl.
You get it through the letterbox. So there we go, Darryl. How are you feeling as a Celtic fan at the moment, Darryl? They seem to be on varying degrees of frustration. Where are you?
Listen, at the end of the day, we're top of the league. Celtic fans I'm 59 this year, so I've seen it quite a lot of it. You know, they'll be all right. Rangers have never got a better chance to win the league this season than what they've got. They're maybe imploding. And Hearts will never get a better chance to win the league either. So it'll be interesting. Very interesting.
I mean, Dylan, you come through at Celtic and know the demands there. And this does feel a bit like nothing that's ever gone before, though, because the period of real anger and frustration is at a time when generally it's a successful team. I get the whole Champions League ambition, all that argument, but generally it's quite a successful era. But we're not really seeing we're not seeing a lot of love amongst the Celtic fans at the moment.
Yeah, I think.
Dylan thought on you go.
It's one of them ones, you know. It's the whole thing we're getting knocked out of Europe without sending players before it, and then the same players straight after it. It baffles me. Totally baffles me. It's badly managed. So. And I think most Celtic fans feel the same way, so I can feel their frustration, but I think we'll be alright. We just buckle down, sort of ride the waves, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, obviously I'm a Celtic fan as well, and I want to see the best players at the club and compete in Champions Leagues and going to these games and watching it, so I'm just like a little fan really, and I totally get where they're coming from. The other side I can see as well is, well, do they have enough to go through the qualifiers? You would say on paper that they probably should have over the two games, have enough. They didn't perform. So would the board go and spend fortunes when it looks like Rangers aren't really going to push them as much as they should? So again, if they push the board and they still don't go through, they're left in a Scottish league where they should win the league, and they've added a lot. Spent a lot of money on wages and transfers and stuff. So, and they've already done that the last couple of years with obviously the striker and stuff and the midfielders. So, yeah, I can see both sides. The only thing I think is what the fans can jump on as well is Brendan Rodgers has come out openly and said that he needs reinforcement in certain areas. The board haven't done that until after the qualifier. So, I can see that's a problem when the manager's coming out and asking for help and basically it's a week or two late. Mm-hmm. But for me, they did have enough to go through that tie. They didn't perform. And then if they did go out and splash the cash and spend 15 million, 20 million on top players, they're left in a Premier League where it looks like Rangers are going to struggle to keep up. Hearts obviously are strong. But everyone's favourites is Celtic as it is.
I'm fascinated to see where this goes, Gordon. I think we alluded to it last night. Rangers' picture's a bit more straightforward. Either they start winning games or Russell Martin at some point will lose his job. I think we would concede that. I'm not saying it's next week or the week after, but it's the only real two outcomes, I think. Whereas Celtic's probably is a bit more complex because it's a frustration at a boardroom level and maybe at sort of a couple of people and some people aim it different people, so you don't really know where the sort of full focus is or how that's fixed. You know, what's the solution? Just right now, if you said to Rangers fans, what specifically do you want? It would be remove Russell Martin. Yeah. Celtic's picture's a bit more complex, and then they are actually winning games. As Darryl says, you're top of the league. So those who are angry, I think, are entitled to say, well, our anger is actually not linked to the position at the top of the league. It's about other stuff. But you would be angrier if you weren't top of the league, wouldn't you? So that's always going to take, even if it's just that 5-10%, it's always just going to bring the temperature down a bit if Celtic keep winning.
Yeah, I think that's what's taking a little bit of the pressure off, and I think the fans can accept that. They're sitting top of the league, they're winning games, they're not conceding a lot of goals. The interesting bit for Celtic, for me, they'll get a little bit of breathing space until the window opens in January, and then you wonder, what road did they got to go down? Because a lot of people are thinking last season for Brendan Rodgers. So what does the board do? Because they come in for such a criticism there about, you know, the transfer window and their lack of spending. So do they go in and say to Brendan Rodgers, right, well, you need 2 or 3 players to get this over the line? And Brendan Rodgers is saying, well, I'm not going to be here. So where does it, how do you balance that? It's a fine balancing act for me. I think just now, because the window's closed, Celtic know what they've got. They know what they've got to work with. They'll go on with it. There'll still be protests against the board. Of course it will, because Celtic fans are not happy at all. But I think the interesting bit for Celtic as a club will come in January.
Thank you again to Darryl. Well done for winning Beat the Pundit. I'm going to really break your heart here. You've had one or
two. I'm not below said.
You've had a fair few rejections in your time. Knockbacks, would we agree?
Millions.
So Thursday night, you're delighted to be with Dylan, but Thursday nights, you're usually with your old pal, aren't you? Your old partner.
Has he been on?
Mark Wilson, right?
Has he been on?
And this week, above all others, I mean, he's about to play. He's the manager of Partick Thistle. He's playing Celtic this weekend.
It's the only time I've become a Celtic supporter.
So I thought it would be perfect. This is the night. We'll invite him back onto the show. We'll get him on FaceTime or something. He can chat to us, preview the game. Knocked us back.
Has he?
He's rejected us. Said, nah.
He thinks he's a big time now, doesn't he?
He said, who's this?
Do you know something? He's got to remember where he came from.
I know. Remember where his bread's buttered and all that.
Exactly.
Where his loyalties lie.
I looked after him for years upon years. Nah. Gave him a job at Airdrie.
Busy,
everything.
He said. Busy.
I'm not even the Partick kit man. Have you noticed that?
Just said he's too busy.
He's too busy. Mm. Oh, he's honestly, come on, Celtic. No, I'm only kidding. I wish him all the best.
Are you going to go along?
No.
Why?
It's too far away, mate.
For Hill?
Yeah, I'm going out on Sunday.
Right, okay.
Got a dinner date. What time's it kick off?
Actually, don't know. I think just 3 o'clock, three, half three, something like that.
Okay, late lunch date.
Because again, Dylan, we'll stick up for Mark for a bit, and what a cup shock it would be. But there's, I think, from the outside or in the bookmakers' odds or whatever, maybe people don't see the same jeopardy for Celtic this weekend. So if they do keep winning, do you think that naturally brings the, like I said, the temperature down a bit, or are people so angry and so frustrated at the core issues of the way the club's run that they'll just keep at it?
Yeah, I think obviously winning games helps and it might bring the temperature down a little bit, but I think enough's went on where they've made their mind up that they're not happy, and I think obviously the statement that came out last week, that kind of rubbed people up the wrong way as well, and they wanted people to come out and speak, but that wasn't, I don't think it was the right tone for the majority of Celtic fans. So,
is there anything planned for Sunday for a 12-man again, 12-minute?
I don't know. Any Celtic fans can phone and tell us. Not that I've seen. Not that I'm aware of.
They'll miss the first 4 goals.
Stop it. Your old pal will have been working tirelessly
this week.
He's
not even get the decency to come on this programme. Ridiculous.
Honestly, he's forgotten all about us. But he... listen, well, I think it's still going to be guaranteed chance and a banner of some description, isn't there? Whether there's anything as coordinated as that last week, I don't quite think so, or I haven't seen it yet. But we will see. Ben is on, and we will speak to Ben when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Gordon DL to really take Dylan McGeoch under his wing on the full time teaser. It's a good one, this, and I can see the kind of thought process. Eddie in Gourock has sent it in. Now, on this list, there are 11 names.
Goodness.
I'm going to cut it down for you, and we'll just see how you get on, right? To 5, right?
Okay.
Eddie wants you to name, since 2018, 5 permanent managers did not make it to 100 days in charge of a Scottish, of a current Scottish Premiership club. So since 2018, there are 5 managers who didn't last 100 days in charge of a current Scottish Premiership club.
I was going to say Levine, but they're not St Johnstone.
Correct.
Championship. I'm right, and it's St Johnstone.
Like, I can see that. Yep, this just seems to be your go-to.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Goodwin.
Whereabouts?
I'd say Aberdeen.
Oh, made it past 100 days.
One of the Hibs managers, surely.
Oh yeah, Montgomery.
Oh no, not even close. He was there.
Oh no, Maloney.
120 days. He's sixth on the list.
Oh no. Who else come up? Hibs.
No, not necessarily.
Hibs.
I'll give you some thinking time. How does that sound?
Oh, the Motherwell boy.
Come on then.
Ian Caffell.
No, the last Motherwell manager there.
You're having a bad time, Mr. Motherwell.
My minds are gone.
Cynics out there might say you're not really a Motherwell fan.
No. Just he went right out of my mind the minute he left down here.
Like dead to you.
I
as soon
waved
as he left.
Him goodbye. What was his name?
He just left in the summer. You're right.
He left in the summer.
He only lasted 96 days.
Oh my goodness! Right. I'll get back to that.
Ben is on in Larbert. How are you, Ben?
How we doing, guys? All right.
Good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight?
The reason for my call, I'm a Hearts fan and long-term season ticket holder. The reason for my call, I don't know if you remember, about 5 weeks ago after the Aberdeen game, the first game of season 1-2-0, I was impressed with that and impressed with our pre-season. I called up and it was a Tuesday, spoke to Marvin Gordon and asked what their chances are, what they thought the chances of us splitting the Old Firm were or competing at the top end, and I was told absolutely no chance from Gordon DL. Given how the next 4 games have played out, and after the comfortable 2-0 victory at Ibrox, 9 points clear, Rangers still carrying on with Russell Martin and a difficult fixtures coming up in Hearts for the next 2 games at home, if he's changed his mind, considering the bookies have now gone to Hearts more favoured than Rangers to win the league. Hearts are now 7-1 to win the league, Rangers are 8-1. So if that absolutely no chance that Gordon DL had told me after game day one has changed to a slight percentage, or what's his thoughts on that?
Come on then.
No chance.
Still no chance? No. I'm interested
in
that. No. No chance?
Over a course and the distance.
9
of,
points?
Yeah, I know. Listen, Hearts have started brilliantly and I think they've got a very, very good squad and they've got an experienced manager in there. I think Rangers will eventually pull the trigger on Russell Martin. I think they'll get in. I think someone will get them going. There's a long season, injuries, suspensions, everything to go with it. Look, I would love nothing better than a team up there. Like Aberdeen started last season and people were getting carried away with Aberdeen starting. It was the same. Aberdeen supporters were saying, oh, we could split the Old Firm, we could win the league. Look where Aberdeen ended up. Now, I'm not saying Hearts will be the same because I think Hearts are a lot stronger and I think they've got more quality. But I just think over the piece, over a season, and it'll be a long season, I think Rangers will still get up there.
Dylan?
I think any other season, I would agree with you, Gordon, but I think the difference, obviously Aberdeen started really well and then fell away, but the difference for me at Hearts this year is McInnes. I think the fact that he's in there, there's a feel-good factor, the fans are all on board, the players, you see the last-minute goals, and they've got a bit of everything. They've added a bit of quality as well at the top of the pitch, and I think he's the difference, and he's done it before. He's been there with Aberdeen, he's split the Old Firm before, so I think if there was going to be a manager in a club that were going to do it this year, it probably looks like Hearts are going to be the team to split them.
What gives you the faith, Ben? Is it the McInnes factor? Is it the Jamestown factor? Is it the combination of all of the above?
I think it's a mixture of everything. The reason, just echoing what Dylan said there, is the squad depth that we're carrying now and the quality that we're carrying just now, week in, week out, we are bringing subs on 60, 70 minutes and making the team stronger. We've got a record signing who's not even really featured yet, with the exception of half an hour at Livingston, still to get involved in the middle of the park. We look, Shankland and Braga up top are an incredible combination with backups. You know, our defence looks solid. I just think all over the park, I know you're touching on Aberdeen last season, but I think the difference is McInnes, he's been there, done it before, the squad depth, the quality. I just cannot see how we will not get stronger. And I think Rangers, who would be the main competitor to challenge for second,
right? They're going to get rid of Martin at some point. They're going to have another rebuild. They're going to have a manager that's going to have inherited Martin's transfers. They're going to need to go through this whole process again in January and throughout the season. I just cannot see. We've got an established squad that we've improved on, recruited well, how we won't go from strength to strength between now and the end of the season. So I can't see how Hearts only get stronger, whilst Rangers will need to go through their cliche rebuild as they do year on year out. And that's why I think, and the bookies are rarely wrong on these things, and that's why they've got Hearts favoured over Rangers now. So for Gordon Dale to still say no chance, I don't know how you can give that a 0%.
I'm not saying no chance.
That's specifically what you said.
Right, okay. What I'm saying is I don't believe. Look, I love competition, and I'm not caring if Celtic Rangers win the league. It wouldn't bother me. At end of the day, if Hearts are good enough and they can do it consistently over the piece. Listen, it wasn't that. A couple of weeks ago, the Hearts fans were leaving their droves at Tynecastle when Motherwell were thumping them 3-0. The Livingston missed a great chance to make it 2-2 at Livingston. So, look, Ben, as much as I like you getting carried away, as much as a lot of the points you make, I agree with you. I think I love the fact that there's a good squad there, there's good players, the bench is very strong. It's still a long, long season, and I think Rangers, if they can get themselves sorted out, I think Rangers will start climbing that league. Yeah, you're starting to believe me now, aren't you? Yeah, okay.
Well, no, I'll leave this and I'll revisit this post-Christmas and we'll see if that 0% chance has increased any.
I would love nothing better to hear from you for Christmas, and send me a wee card as well, mate. Okay, Ben.
We'll catch up then.
Cheers, mate.
The only thing I would, in the sake of accuracy, on the 31st of October, so further on clearly than we are at the moment, on the 31st of October last year, there were stories that Aberdeen had become the second favourites to win the Premiership last season.
Gordon,
and look at where they finished.
I think it's refreshing. I love seeing Hearts. I love seeing Hibs grown as a team. I love the fact that the job Jim Goodwin's doing at Dundee United. So I think for the Scottish game, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But I just believe that over the course and distance of a full season, I think if Rangers can get it sorted, and I do think Rangers will eventually replace Russell Martin, there's a squad there that a manager can come in and get a tune out of. No doubt for me.
I think what you were alluding to though, Dylan, if you're looking for a sort of set of circumstances that might allow another team to do it, it obviously you need Celtic or Rangers or whoever to be off it, and clearly Rangers are. Look at the points total. Hearts fans feel like they've got a really good manager in charge, and then there is all this stuff with the recruitment. Now, we don't know if that's going to lead to instant success overnight, but we spoke about it a couple of nights ago. Look how good Braga looked at Ibrox. Braga was signed from the second division in Norway.
Yeah.
Right? There was, forgive me, there's the, I can't remember the name at the moment. One of them came from Serie D in Italy. There's another from the Icelandic division. Like, this, although it's early and although there are no guarantees, I think that recruitment system looks exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I think it adds a little kind of, it's a good balance with McInnes, because obviously we know McInnes obviously likes to get some boys that have played in the Premier League before, kind of proven that they can play at this level, and they know they can mm-hmm. adapt and settle in really well. So like your Stuart Finlays and stuff like that, he's took them in. But then again, as you said, they managed to find these gems playing in leagues that you would never look at. So the boy Braga, if you put him in the Rangers jersey, 50,000 would be absolutely singing about how well he is, how good he is, and how much money that they've spent for him. But again, adding McInnes's kind of blend of what he wants and what he knows and tried and trusted, and then adding a couple of these kind of hidden gems, it looks like a good match at the moment.
Well, they've got a great opportunity. I wish Ben was still back on, because they've got less games to play, been knocked out of the cups early.
That's a good point. But I mean, the other one off the top of my head that I couldn't quite grasp there, Kizaridis, again, I thought he looked electric at Ibrox at times. I think he signed from Slovakian football, a team that finished in the bottom half. So it's just like, we've always known it's a big world out there, and I'm not saying just because you go to far flung corners of it that it's a success, but these guys do look like whatever scouting's been done on them has been very effective, because not only are you looking at the kind of end product and how they end up? But they look like they've settled in pretty quickly.
Yeah, the recruitment's been very, very good. You've got to say, I think Ben makes a great point. See, when you look at a team, as much as that's starting 11 strong, you look at what's coming on off the bench, and Derek's got good options just now. Not just the recruitment, they've out and found a few gems, Gordon. They've spent money as well. They've made a serious point of going out and saying, right, we want to be contending the league this year. And I think that Hearts will have a really good season in the league because I think they're a decent side with guys that can score goals. Braga, you say, Shanklin gets his two at the weekend as well. Always a prolific goal scorer for me. I know he went off the boil a little bit the season before, but I think that's because he played in that 10 role. I think when you play him through the middle, he'll score you goals. He's just one of these guys. They've got a good backup. They've got defensively, they look quite solid. Okay, Motherwell, you know, played them off the park for about an hour, but all credit to Derek, made the substitutions and they showed a lot of character and come back. It's quite interesting, and you can make a case for Hibs as well. You look at that Hibs side and you look at the squad that they've got as well. Be interesting to see how they handle Ibrox at the weekend in the Cup. I think it's refreshing. Dundee United, Jim, look at the recruitment. Jim's doing it up at Dundee United. Players that we've never heard of, and you watch them, they're great entertainment. The fans are flooding back to Tannadice like the old days. So football's in a good place with these teams, been better for me.
Let's try Michael on the line and see what he thinks. Hi, Michael.
Good evening, gents. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you very much. It's a question for Gordon specifically, but obviously Dylan can kick in with his opinion as well. Gordon, I'm so glad that you spoke about recruitment in the previous response, because I was on a few weeks back when Menezy responded to me when I was going on about Celtic's lack of recruitment. Now, you guys doubled down on the Celtic board being so fantastic. And the point I would like to make tonight is Celtic sold the best player, if not one of the best players, to Como probably around 6 weeks before the transfer deadline day. Probably around about that. Celtic could have went out at that time, spent £6 million on three players, which are the a net spend of £2 million, which would have just left them £98 million sitting in the bank. But they never. They lowballed, so much so that a Dutch team that nobody has ever heard of came out and slagged the Celtic negotiation team. But you and Maisie, on that evening, doubled down at a Celtic board are doing such a great job. They've managed to disenfranchise the majority of the Celtic support. So I want to give you an opportunity tonight just to see if you still feel the same way.
Well, first and foremost, I don't think me and Nazy were jumping and singing lyricals about the Celtic board. I think it's well documented that we all agree that the recruitment and the transfer window was an absolute disaster for Celtic. And you look at some of the players, but, you know, it's okay saying recruitment. You can go out there and spend £6 million in two, three players. Celtic went out and spent £20+ million in three players and none of them can get a game. In fact, one of them's been already shipped away to Swansea. So recruitment is very difficult, and at this moment in time for me, I don't think Celtic are doing very well. I think the transfer window was very poor, i.e. why a majority of the Celtic fans were outside Rugby Park until the 12th minute to come in and demonstrate their anger against the board, and I'm all with them for that. I said earlier in the programme, I think January has got to be very interesting for Celtic, not as just the board, but Brendan Rodgers and as a club going forward to see what they're going to do when that window opens again.
Again, though, it probably will come back to timing, Dylan, because a lot of Celtic fans now look at Sebastian Tonetke and think, oh, he looked really good to get man of the match on his debut against Kilmarnock. But it's almost like the better he is will still add to that frustration, because then you think, like, yeah, good signing, but why was it not done sooner?
Yeah, totally. I'm in the same boat. I think you watch him, his last game, and he lit it up. He was the best player on the pitch. Caused problems every time he got the ball. He just driving at his man and getting at him. So that's what the Celtic fans want to see. And they're obviously asking the question, why was it not done a bit sooner so he can get in for the Champions League games and he could have maybe made a difference? But obviously we don't know the ins and outs of how these deals go, and they're very complex. But again, fans obviously can have an opinion on maybe Celtic will try to save, I don't know, say half a million here, kind of negotiating where they could have just went out and spent it, made sure he was in the door. Brendan wanted him, and he starts these Champions League games. So I totally get the anger, and I'm in the same boat as well. I think he would have made a difference to the Celtic team, and Brendan was asking for it.
But you did say earlier that, and I totally agree with you, that I think everybody probably looked at the game against Almaty and thought, yeah, okay, they've not signed the players that Brendan wants, but they've still got enough quality there to go and surely get
a much better chance with him, though.
I know that. It depends on how they settle in. You've looked at one or two come in.
Or with anyone, though.
Yeah, you're talking about two wingers that have come in. One settled in absolutely brilliant and got man of the match at the weekend. The other one, he's still to find forward gear because he goes back every time he gets the ball, and even the Celtic fans are noticing, and he's only played two games.
Okay, thank you again, Michael. Just make sure you keep holding him to account, Michael. I like it when people bring up things he said and make sure he's standing by.
It was nazy, wasn't he, Michael?
You've been getting it tight a wee bit last 10 minutes. Your Hearts prediction, your backing of the Celtic board.
I didn't back the Celtic.
Michael
Wimmer.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Well done. Oh, I had to get that.
In case you're wondering what that random outburst was, if you didn't hear it, we're looking for 5 permanent top-flight managers in Scottish Premiership since 2018 who didn't make it to 100 days in charge. Michael Wimmer, yes. Quite a hard question, isn't it?
But he's went Murty, but Murty was caretaker.
He's not on the list.
Bale will get bored, didn't he?
It's 100 days, not long. Was that 3 months? Just over 3 months?
Yeah. Right,
try go through the clubs.
Current Premiership club.
Is it Aberdeen, maybe? Goodwin?
No.
I'll give you more thinking time.
Oh, the lad, the Italian manager at Kilmarnock.
Angelo Alessio.
That's a baby. Mark it down.
185 days. We'll get back to you with the right answers, hopefully, when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Another quick show. We're on the home straight tonight with Dylan McGeoch and Gordon Dalziel. They're trying to answer this teaser that's been sent in by Eddie and Guruk. It is an absolute cracker. If you want to submit your question, hear it used on the show in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Since 2018, 5 permanent managers have lasted less than 100 days in charge of a current Scottish Premiership club, i.e. Michael Wimmer at Motherwell, 96 days. You didn't get any others before the break.
We've got two.
Oh, no, I'll decide if you've got two.
No, we've got two. Great.
My old manager, Alan Stubbs.
How could you forget?
I know.
The man who led you to your crowning glory, Scottish Cup victory.
What team?
Hibs.
No, what team did they get sacked from?
St Mirren.
Left St Mirren, 87 days, yep.
Mark McGee, Dundee.
Well done. 86 days. Was that was after, did he not, what was it, he stopped, he was going naked around his house or something, turning the heating off.
Oh yeah.
Remember?
Empty the fridge.
Hold on, what's really, really disturbing is I've made up the naked bit. How bad's that? I think he just
Do you know something? What's really, really disturbing is in my mind.
How worried is that? Why have I made that bit up?
I've no idea.
I now don't know what to say.
I think he just, you've been peeping through Mark McGee's windows.
did he not starve himself and turn the heating off?
Yeah.
There was nothing to do with,
they've been naked.
Why have I made that up?
But I think it adds to the story.
I need to look
be
this
fair.
Up. What was it? I need details.
It adds to the story.
Mark McGee. I'm not googling Mark McGee naked on the work computer.
Gordon Duncan at Mark McGee's house. See what comes up.
See if you just type Mark McGee, the next it says Mark McGee radiators. Mark McGee has turned off his own radiators as he's going the extra mile to try and avoid relegation, etc. So he's turned off the radiators.
He said he wasn't eating and stuff as well, wasn't it?
So it's nothing to do with taking his clothes off at all, was it?
He just made that
No,
up.
He said something about going naked for a week, somebody's telling me. If they beat St Johnstone.
What?
Wow. I thought this show plunged to new depths last night when we played Miley Cyrus. I now think with that was a great time in Scottish football. I've asked myself, why am I cold? And I can say because of the game on Saturday. Some great quotes here. I want to be cold and hungry. I'm asking my own players to make this game as important in their own minds.
Maybe he just couldn't afford the bills.
That's crazy.
You're just going to walk, wasn't it?
I turned my heating off and put the continental quilt over me.
You got the heating on yet?
No.
It's usually about this time, is it not?
Yeah. I'm starting to get a bit nippy.
Mine might be going soon.
Listen, are there a Dundee United manager in
there? Is.
Yes, and I'll tell you who it was.
Go on then.
I can't remember his name again. I've had a bad night with names.
I hope it's not another one that Dylan's worked with that he can't remember.
Is he at Hearts now?
No.
No?
Who would that be? Oh, you're thinking Liam Fox?
Yeah.
156 days.
Can these guys not just go early? Dundee United. Jack Ross.
Was he your Sunderland manager?
He signed me as well.
Signed you for Sunderland.
No. Just think all the managers have signed you.
Alan's none
they
of these
have been in the last 100 days.
I know. I had nothing to do with it.
There's a theme starting here.
Jack Ross, 71 days. Dundee United.
Right, okay.
That was Sunderland you had him.
Sunderland, they signed me, yeah.
You were part of the Netflix thing?
The second season, yeah,
that
a little bit.
That was mad, wasn't
it?
It
was good. I liked it.
It's good TV, to be fair.
Do you think it's is that the best version of those types of things?
I like the City one.
Did you?
City one's good.
No, I like the Sunderland.
I feel like the bigger the clubs, just the more like kind of sanitised it was. Or
I'm liking the Wrexham one just now. I like the Raz of My Dad's.
The what, sorry?
The Raz of My Dad's.
I don't think that's a phrase or a word, but anyway. Sunderland was good. Was it the chief exec tried to get new music in the stadium?
Charlie.
Was he there when you were then?
Yeah, he was. I met him in Portugal. I signed went over to Portugal for like pre-season camp. That's when we met Charlie. Yeah, he's a character.
A character's what? You know what that means, really. Things he can't say on here. That's
when
he's got like the boardroom round and he's like nodding his head to the music.
That's classic.
That you need Dame in a club, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, we've got one more on the teaser. We can get it before we disappear. First up tomorrow then, let's give it an early go. Kilmarnock are playing St Mirren. There's been handball gate for Stuart Kettlewell this week. Stephen Robinson said to answer questions about Chris Sutton, saying that they're not very good to watch and he wouldn't pay to watch them. Big chance for both these sides to get to latter stages.
It starts tomorrow, and I think that I'll go on to the weekend about trying to predict who's going to be in the semi-finals. I think there's a lot of tight games. This one is very tight. Thought Kilmarnock played okay against Celtic. They look a handful, they look a threat, they're at home, everybody highlights as a pitch as usual. St Mirren are, you know, going away to Falkirk, getting that result. Stephen Robinson, he's just got, I know what Sutton's saying about style of play, but he's brilliant at it.
Because I actually think they're all right. They get it forward and then play.
100%. That's the style of play. They get the ball forward because that's where their danger is. They want to get in the final third. They've got midfield players that are creative. They've got midfield players that can score. They've got midfield players that can play as well. I like the way he goes about his business. He buys the players to suit his system. That's a sign of a good manager for me. You know your strengths, you know your weaknesses. He plays to his strengths. Have a look at the way St Mirren are now. They're going away from home, they're playing at home, they're up against the big boys and they're fancying their chances. I touched on Dundee United with the fans come back. St Mirren fans are loving the football in Paisley just now. So I think that'll be a really, really tight game. That could go all the way for me.
Yeah, I think it's harsh, obviously. I know Sutton comes out with some stuff and it can rub people up the wrong way, but I think he gets the best out of his squad. He recruits well and he's consistently done it as well. And you see that when any jobs come up, like you would you would call kind of higher up clubs, that they're always touting Stephen Robinson for the job. So
right, you're nearly out of time, which means one more in the teaser. So we're looking for a manager of a current Premiership club, and he lasted only 45 days.
45?
Yeah.
I've been in the bath longer. Give us clues.
Bottom six or top six?
He's played for so many, including Celtic and Rangers.
Kenny Miller.
Livingston. 45 days. formerly of this studio, of course.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
That's there a good
go.
One, that.
There we go. Thank you very much, Dylan McGeoch. Did you enjoy it? Okay,
yeah,
painless.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having
do
me.
Do you want to give a wee mention to all of it? You said your in-laws were all watching.
The yeah, family. Thing I done. Yeah, they were good.
Just keep a wee eye on your performance.
Yeah, that's good. It. Yeah.
Quite right. Somebody has to. Thank you very much, Gordon DL, Dylan McGeoch, and thank you for your calls, your tweets, your company. Keep subscribing to the YouTube channel. Keep downloading the podcasts wherever you want to catch up, and we will be back tomorrow. Can't wait to hear from Russell Martin, see what he's got after another busy week. Hugh Keevans, he'll have one or two things to say as well. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.